Father, as always, we thank you, Lord, this morning for the entrance of your word. Brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. Let that light shine in our hearts this morning, bringing understanding into our hearts. In the name of Jesus, we give you, Lord, the praise and the glory for the spirit of encouragement, even on here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning and good afternoon, wherever you are. It will hopefully not be too long a room. We thank God we had some great celebration in our family. And our folks that normally join this line, who are in Phoenix, Arizona, they were there with us last night. Many of them probably later than they should have done. So they may or may not be here, but we thank God this morning. And we are also going into the house of the Lord in a few minutes. Well, not sorry, in a few hours to go and continue Thanksgiving. Amazing God done great things for us. I made the joy and the voice of celebration not cease in your own homes. May you hear always the voice of joy, the voice of merriment, and the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for joining us this morning. This room, I should make some quick announcements before we get going. We are here in case you're new or new, any new person listening to it. This room will air on Clubhouse daily at 7 a.m. Eastern Time, U.S. And that's 5 a.m. Grand Rising Arizona time for us in Arizona. For the friends that join us from the UK, that will be 12 noon. We have some friends that join us also from Nigeria. That will be 1 p.m. daily. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I believe this week, this coming week that we are entering, we'll be entering into, we are going to get into the book of Hebrews. So you might want to read ahead. We just concluded a series on the seven pillars of wisdom. Powerful stuff. If you missed it, please check out the replays, Practical Application of Wisdom. And, you know, we preach faith a lot. And this time around, we also preached wisdom to go along with that. And all the things that wisdom speaks to us. And so it'll be a blessing for you to listen in. We invite you to join the Walking with God Club and the House of Faith Club, because we host these rooms interchangeably under those clubs. We invite you to also follow Lady Ebon and myself. Whenever we host any rooms, no matter which club, then if you're following, you will get notifications. Praise the Lord. Once again, Father, I thank you. As we enter your word now, shed the light in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to talk for just a little bit on spiritual resilience today. Faith and patience. You know, faith is something that many of us are used to, and we've preached faith so many different times and so many different ways on this platform. Faith must be accompanied with patience. And I'm going to just give us a few scriptures here, encourage us that while we are trusting the Lord, we should also patiently wait for his salvation. Glory to God. We start here in Hebrews chapter 6. And I'm going to read just a few verses out of Hebrews chapter 6. We start at Hebrews chapter 6, and verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, this admonition is telling us that we should not be slothful, we should not be weary, but followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, I love this text, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Glory to God. So we see, you know, there was a lifelong story, 25 years of Abraham waiting for that promise. And many of us think of it as faith, and it was faith. But it was patience as well. And patience is a key element that we must use in our lives. You know, when you mix that with faith, it goes into the realm of trust. It goes in the realm of just relying on the Lord and waiting for God's timing. Now, God's timing, he'll come through for us no matter what. But he may not always come through at the time, you know, immediately as we start praying. And he has put many examples in the scriptures to encourage us to hang in there and keep on believing. Here are a few other scriptures I want to give us. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36, well, it says that we have need of patience. And now this patience is part of the fruit of the Spirit. And we have need of that patience. Glory to God. He says, I'm start from verse 35. He said, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And now, so in this thing, in these two texts that we have read so far, we see that the promise came after something. What we read in chapter 6 said that Abraham had patiently endured, then he received the promise. Now, this one says that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Well, so we see that that process is undefined how long it may be. It might be an hour. You know, we see many miracles that happened in the Bible. They say in that same hour. It might be a day, might be a week, a month, or months, or even years. And we don't know how long it may take. But Jesus said, in your patience, possess ye your souls. Luke 21 and verse 19. There's going to be need for us to have patience, because the timing is in God's hands. Faith we have, but patience we need. We have need of patience. You know, while we're believing God, we absolutely must have that. Listen to how the psalmist said it. Psalm 40, the first three verses, He's telling us here how he waited patiently. Patiently. Now, some of us wait, but not patiently. You know, so we've got to wait patiently for the Lord. Psalmist said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me. We don't know how long he had to wait. And he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. Hallelujah. He brought me out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he had put a new song in my mouth. And praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and they themselves in turn shall trust in the Lord through my testimony. That's what the psalmist is saying here. You know, so the patience in waiting is demonstrated out of a character of spiritual resilience. We build God, you know, we build resilience through some of the things, you know, that, you know, we go through. Hallelujah. James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. God even uses some trials, you know, to press our faith into a more perfect shape, you know. That's right. Press us into more alignment. You know, so everything that is happening, we need patience. When we're going through, he said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials, not temptations. Yeah, the translation was a bit poor there. Knowing this, that the trying, you can see that it's talking about trying, not the tempting of your faith. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You can see again how, you know, patience is born out of trials. But he said, let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Wow. The same concept is taught by Paul in Romans chapter 5. And it begins to bring out in verses 3 and 5 some of the things that we go through in life and how it develops character in us. He said, look, and not only so, but we glory. In fact, let me read it from verse 1 to give context. Romans 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith. You know, so we see that faith, we cannot get this access, you know, without faith. Faith is so key. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. You can see that patience again. And patience, when you have patience through a situation, you will gain experience. Hallelujah. And through the experience, while you're waiting and hoping and trusting in the Lord, experience, you know, when we are steadfast, generate hope in us to know that, you know, there is hope of a tree. Job said, even though it be cut down, that yet it will sprout again. Job chapter 14, verses 7 to 9. But the hope, he says, that we have, glory to God, maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. Our subject today is on faith and patience. The aspect of patience I want to bring in today is, you know, in waiting it out and not running off to some other solution. Because we lack patience is the reason why we look elsewhere instead of waiting patiently for the Lord. It is the same reason why believers who are supposed to be endowed with all the benefits of this kingdom of God will run to the unbelieving and doomed systems of this world to bail them out in financial situations. That's why we go get loans from the system that is corrupt, because we will not wait patiently for the Lord, or because we overextended ourselves, we didn't use prudence. We covered all those things when we were doing our lessons on faith. But when you wait patiently for the Lord, he'll come through. He always does. Now, unfortunately, this body can only wait so long, you know. We don't even know. I mean, I don't know if everybody knows what their breaking point is. You know, I mean, what is your breaking point? I mean, how long can you wait for a particular thing? And I think it even varies not only from person to person, but it varies from situation to situation. You know, so what is your breaking point? You know, and we know that, look, when we are waiting, like that, the heart can be sick. People can be weary. You know, it says in Proverbs 13 and 12, hope that is delayed makes the heart to be sick. But when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. Well, the sick heart is the one we want to deal with today. There's no need for your heart to be sick while you're waiting for the Lord. This is a part of the human journey. And we don't need to be, you know, we don't need to be weary. We need to hang in there. You know, so let us, while we are waiting, guard our loins to know that, look, this journey may be long. I don't know for how long, you know, and, but I'm going to wait. Scripture says in Galatians 6 and 9, we shall reap in due season if we faint not. Well, due season, what does that even mean? Well, there is a season for everything. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the first 8 or so verses tells you all the various seasons, a time to do this, a time to do that, a time to not do this, and a time to do the other. But he drops down here in Ecclesiastes 3, the same chapter. He drops down, and I want to read verse 11. That's where I'm going, but let me read 10 and 11, you know, just for some context. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and we really should study this thing. To everything there is a season, and to a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, time to die, time to plant, time to pluck up what's planted, time to kill, time to heal, time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones. A time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, a time to lose, time to keep, time to cast away, time to rent, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, a time to speak. My goodness. A time to love, time to hate, time for war, time for peace. All of these things, you know. Now, verse 10 says, I have seen the travail, the toil, you know, sometimes the struggle in this journey, which God has given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. You really can't get out of it. But the Holy Spirit is here while we're going through it to give us the strength. And he says in verse 11 is where I'm going with this thing. This is our consolation, that he has made everything beautiful in his time, not our time. I want us to underscore that. In his time. And what is his time? I don't know. You know, will it going to happen in the hour? Well, I hope. When I speak the word, I hope and trust and believe that it will be, you know, just like that. But it may not be just like that. And actually, it may be just like that. Maybe it happened in the heavens. Maybe the word that I spoke set some, you know, put some ordinances in place in the heavens. But maybe it takes time, you know, for the ripple effect to set the dominion of those things upon the earth. I don't know. But we got to hang in there, you know, when we are believing God. We cannot, you know, just, you know, run off, you know, when something looks like it's delayed. This was the problem, you know, that the children of Israel had from the many stories, you know, in the life of their journey from Egypt to the promised land that can help us in our own journey today. Many stories, you know, but one of them in Exodus 32, which I don't appreciate what the people did or like, but it's a story nonetheless that we can learn from. He says, and when the people, Exodus 32, verse 1, when the people saw that Moses was delayed coming down out of the mount, which he was only there for 40 days, you know, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, see, they're impatient. You know, they're going to find another solution. Up, get us, you know, up, make us gods, and you shall go before us. You know, as for this Moses, we don't know, I mean, what has become of him. He's the one that brought us out, but he has abandoned us here. So make us gods. You know, people, you know, and I taught a room several months ago, and I said, look, when the answer is delayed in coming from God, is the golden calf next? So, you know, because of lack of patience, when the answer seems delayed, it may not have been delayed at all, just God's timing, you know, which we don't understand, you know, because our minds are not like God's mind yet. He says, my ways are above your ways. My thoughts are above your thoughts for now. But we need to develop into the realm where we start thinking like him, understanding like him, and so on, you know, and, but in the meantime, because of the disparity between the way he thinks and the way we think, his thoughts and our thoughts, you know, sometimes we don't understand his timing. And God is not under any obligation to explain everything to us. He does, because he loves us. You know, he treats us as friends and he tells us things, you know, but he's not under obligation to tell us everything. As a matter of fact, he will not tell us certain things so that we will trust him. You know, that's part of the process. But these people would not wait. They couldn't wait. And most of the time, when something, when the miracle or supply or the answer, you know, of peace from God or whatever it is just around the corner, when God is just around the corner, is when people give up and they turn away from the Lord because of lack of patience. Jesus explaining how that men ought always to pray, teaching on that subject in Luke chapter 18. He tells us that, you know, the Lord, you know, told certain parables to the intent that men ought always to pray, you know, and he told these parables of spiritual resilience, which is the subject I'm covering today. And in these parables, the first one was the woman who kept bugging the judge to do something for her. which the judge will not do. Avenge me of adversary. My adversary, she kept saying, but the man wouldn't do anything. The man said, look, I don't care. You know, don't bother me. You know, it's none of my business. I'm not concerned. I mean, the man was a wicked judge, unrighteous, had no empathy, didn't care about this woman and so on. But this woman would not be denied. But she waited. She kept at it. You know, she didn't say, well, okay. So, you know, that's, just give up. Some people, when they meet, and I've seen that in some young folks, when they meet any kind of obstacle on the way of whatever they're doing, they just give up. I mean, what's that all about? I mean, why can't we, you know, dig in there and hang in there and wait for the salvation of the Lord? This woman, she would not, you know, she kept at it. She was resilient and she kept on. And finally, this woman, this man said, look, if I don't get rid of this woman, she is going to weary me. All this every day bugging me with the same thing. And even though I don't care about her cause, but the only way that it seems like I'm going to be able to get rid of her is to give her what she wants so she can stop bothering me. And Jesus said, wow, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he be along with them? This woman said, avenge me of my adversary. You know, we have one major adversary today that has an incredible army. You know, his name is called the devil. And he has an army of demonic spirits, you know, to bring oppression. And he's good at it. He's been doing it for thousands of years. And so he's good at it. And he has a way, he bring the oppression, he'll bring the distress, he'll bring all kinds of things. Oppressing spirits, you know, wickedness, spiritual wickedness, heavy burdens. We covered all of that in this room. You know, and then, you know, but the Lord said, look, the Lord will avenge you. You know, but here's something that Jesus asked in Luke chapter 18 and verse 8. He said, the Lord will avenge you speedily. But he puts this nevertheless there. Now, this is, look. So when you, you know, he's using it as a conjunction here in between these two statements. First, he tells you categorically that the Lord will avenge you speedily. He's going to come. But when he does come, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? Well, we can take that literally for when the Lord will come at the end to gather his saints. You can also take that, you know, into the realm of whatever it is we're asking God for. Because Jesus was talking about the men ought always to pray here. It wasn't just the prayer that this woman was praying was not for the coming of the Lord. She wasn't praying about the coming of the Lord. She just needed answers to some situations. You know, so we have to take this thing also in that context. Jesus wasn't only talking here about the coming of the Lord. It means, if you take it in this context, it means when the Lord finally shows up for that situation you've been praying about, will you still be at that point of faith? Or would you have run off, you know, due to lack of patience? He's going to show up. But would you wait for his salvation, or will you run off and begin to grumble, complain, do all kinds of things? There is a story in Exodus, and I love to read the stories of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, because there's so many lessons there. You know, Exodus chapter 15, every time that they met an obstacle in this journey, and they met many. And God designed it that way, you know, so that, you know, he'll flush out all the ones that would be unbelieving and so forth. You know, and did you ever wonder, you know, why the coming of the Lord is taking so long now also? Well, in this journey and this wilderness while we are waiting, many will also go back It's designed that way. Their hearts turned back to Egypt. The Lord took them even by a long way, you know, initially, because he didn't want them to, when they met the trouble along the way, to quickly go back. So he took them a long way. He didn't want them going back. But they went back anyway in their hearts. And the Lord, in this story, tells us, you know, something interesting that we should learn from. In Exodus chapter 15, every step of the way, they met with one kind of thing or the other. It was either, you know, there was no water, you know, at all, you know, or the water was bitter, even when they found water. I mean, it was always one thing or the other. Although God, step by step, did give them solution to these problems. However, you know, they were always complaining. So in verse 22, we see that Moses, he said, you know, Miriam was singing this song. Say, Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. They went out into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days, you know, and so on. And in the wilderness and found no water. This was the story that was going on after Miriam was singing about the Lord. He said, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. His horse, the horse and the rider he has thrown to the Red Sea. She sang that song. Well, yeah, the Lord did that, but they soon forgot. And after Moses brought them through, the Lord actually brought them through, then they came to this place and they found no water. You know, and then when they eventually found some water, the water was bitter and they couldn't drink it. So they murmured. I mean, it was always murmuring and everything, you know, but the Lord did fix the problem of the bitter waters, showed Moses' solution, you know, but the people started to grumble even before they wouldn't wait for the solution. Moses found a tree that the Lord showed him. He cast into the water and the waters were healed. Bitter waters were made sweet, you know, but all of their grumbling, if we read down to verse 27, and they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they camped there. See, these, you know, this resting place or oasis or whatever was just around the corner. But they were grumbling and grumbling and grumbling. But just around the corner, God had prepared 12 wells. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, all of their tribes could have enough water, and, you know, 70 palm trees. They were able to eat from the dates, you know, and so forth that were on the palm tree, and God nourished them. It was just around the corner. But before they got to round the corner, they grumbled, complained, bitter against the Lord and bitter against Moses and everything. So, due to lack of patience, when the thing is just around the corner, it's when people give up and break. So what is your breaking point? Let's take a look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. And this is Peter's own way of bringing it out to us. You know, it's not an easy thing. And these are things that we must follow. Because he said, but the God of all grace, who had called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Why is it always after? After the suffering? Why don't you just make me perfect already before the suffering? Why I got to go through the suffering for? But that is the way the Lord designed it. It's to press us into a closer representation of his image. We got to go through some of these things. Hallelujah. You know, but sometimes due to lack of patience, we run off. And even, you know, resilience is demonstrated in the story that we see in John chapter 5. which I love the story. I've told it many times. But here's another aspect we want to talk about today. This man that was coming to the waiting for the stirring of the pool, Jesus singled him out. He wasn't the only one. There were a multitude of folks there. But we know his story. We don't know how many of those 38 years he had been coming. But he had had that situation for 38 years. But he came. And he kept coming. And he waited and would wait, even though, you know, every time he got close, somebody else got in ahead of him. But he came back the next time. And he came back the next time. And he came back the next time. And the Lord eventually saw him when he came there, when the Lord came there, singled him out to show us and teach us a lesson. The Lord saw this man's resilience in always coming back. Even though he was a little bit despondent. Well, you know, when Jesus asked him, would you be made whole? He said, well, of course I want to be made whole. Why do you think I'm coming here? I'm coming here all the time, but somebody is always getting in ahead of me. But the Lord looked at the man and said, well, but you kept coming. That's a good thing. You know, he didn't give up. Now, if he would have packed it in, he would not have had that encounter with Jesus. But he kept coming. Although his focus was on the, because nobody had a clue that, you know, Jesus, you know, could just come out there. And these people didn't know that, you know, they could get their deliverance some other way. They were zeroed in on a particular thing. And that's another problem for people today. We zero in on something and we think that that's how God's going to do it. Maybe that's the way God did it before. So we think that that's the way he must do it now. God is not, you know, bound to any corner. He can pull out anything, anytime. Hallelujah. He's got a lot of aces in his bag of tricks, if you want to call it that. He can pull them out at any time. And it doesn't have to be the angel or the pool or the water. It could be something else. And so Jesus told this man, look, today it's not about the angel or the water or the moving or the pool or somebody getting in ahead of you or whatever. I am right here. See, but the victory came to this man because one of the Lord's mercies, singling him out, but more importantly, his resilience, coming back all the time. You know, now some of us, we've prayed about something. You've gone to prayer meeting and you asked this man of God, that woman of God, and all of that and stuff. You know, we don't know. And maybe after a while, we just give up. But look, I mean, when sometimes people say, look, don't give me any hope. Oh, my goodness. Don't give me hope. You know, the Shunammite woman, she told that to Elisha. Said, don't give me any hope. When Elisha told the servant, tell this woman who has been so kind to us. First of all, ask her what she wants. You know, the woman said, look, I'm okay. I'm cool. I mean, does she want me to speak to the king or do this or that for her? I said, no, I'm okay. I dwell in the midst of my people. I'm not, nobody seized anything from me. I don't need you to speak to the king for me. So, well, the servant said to his master, well, she said all of that, but the woman has no child. And Elisha said, all right. Thus saith the Lord, you know, or maybe not exactly thus saith the Lord, but you just say, tell her that according to the time of life, which means from this time, maybe 9 months or whatever, she will embrace the child. And so on. And this woman said, oh, man of God, don't deceive me or give me false hope like that. Because maybe she'd gone to multiple people to spoke the word over her, prophesied to her. She might have got pregnant and miscarried. I don't know. Whatever made her to say that statement, don't give me false hope. She was already discouraged. She'd waited for some time and packed it in. And she was gone. She don't even want to hear it anymore. And some of us are like that too, unfortunately. And there are some hard things that we've been through or going through. We prayed about it. We've done this. We've done that. And we just, after a while, we just pack it in. You know, but I want to ask us to continue to be resilient today. Don't give up and don't give in. Because you don't know the day that the Lord would, like this man, show up and tell you that don't worry about that today. I've got another solution for you. I am right here. Never mind the water. Never mind the angel. You know, that's for all those other people. But today I extend to you something else. You can have your miracle right now. Hallelujah. And you know the rest of the story and so on. And so the lessons that we are going through today is for us to, I mean, here's what we are talking about. God may have appointed a season which we don't know. Even in his mercy, he sent that angel at a certain season, you know, and but there may be something that God in his time, remember, Ecclesiastes 3:11, he has made everything beautiful, everything will work together for your good in his time, because you love the Lord, but it's in his time, and our times are in his hands, and you know, we don't know. Our faith and hope is that any day when we realize that we have a need for a spiritual breakthrough, we can believe that that is our season. You know, and that's why, you know, you see a man of God, woman of God, somebody will tell you, this is your season. That is your season. Well, you know, they're just trying to inspire some faith and some confidence. We don't know that whether it's a season or not, you know. And even if you believe the Lord, it could be any time. You don't, you know, God is not a seasonal God. I've also, you know, preached that many times. You know, in other words, you know, it's all just that there is something with the Lord. He has some timing for some particular purposes. But if we can have tremendous faith, we can pierce the veil at any time. The Syrophoenician woman, Jesus said, it's not yet time for you. You know what? Well, you know, I've come for the house of Israel, but you are a Greek. You know, so don't call me son of David or whatever. You know. But this woman, she pierced the veil. Said, look, dog or no dog, when the children finish eating, crumbs will fall on the floor. And I, you know, being a dog, dogs can get that too. Jesus said, wow. Wow. You know, so she pierced the veil of time. You know, and we can cross those seasons at any time. But at the same time, God is sovereign. He may have something reserved that we don't know anything about. There's a story in John chapter 9. 40 years, the man was 40 years old, and he had been born blind from his mother's womb. On the day he was born, he was blind. And so the disciples said, look, was it his parents that sinned? I mean, why should somebody be born blind? His parents must have sinned or something, or this man himself. And Jesus said, no. It wasn't the parents that sinned that caused this man's blindness, neither yet his own sin. However, it was that the works of God may be made manifest in him. Now, for me, that's one of the hardest things I ever read in that Bible. I mean, 40 years, I have to go blind in order for the works of God be made manifest in me? Yeah, because he is the potter and we are the clay. And we can't say to him, whatever. So sometimes some things are in his hands. Now, if you have tremendous faith, we can pierce all of that. But for the most part, the reality is that God holds the seasons in his hands. Now, somebody that has real faith, especially, you know, the kind of resilience faith, they can pierce those seasons at any time. But generally speaking, we don't know the time that is in his hand. But one thing we do know is we need to stick with it. Don't give up. Stay right there. Don't give in. Our hope is that it won't be long. And so you won't be weary. of because of long hope, waiting and waiting and U-turn. Our prayer and hope is that it won't be like that. But on our part, when we're asking God for something, we must continue to wait. I waited patiently for the Lord. Psalm 102 and verse 13 says that there is a time and a season that God has appointed. And the time to favor you has come. My prayer today is that this will be that time for you. But you must continue to wait. And everybody's time is not the same. I mean, sometimes when we minister, or you see some gifted person minister, and they talk about this blessing, it's a time for your breakthrough, it's your season of this and that. You know, some people will get some things, others, they're still delayed. Well, because everybody's time is not the same. But God is the one that makes everything beautiful in His time. That's God's time. But let's believe the Lord today that it is your season. Let's patiently wait for that though. Even when it is your season, God may have said, yeah, go take care of it. You know, tell one of these angels. But it may still take a while. There may be delays. We saw that in the story of Daniel praying and something was released. But, you know, the angel that was bringing something was also delayed because of, you know, some other demonic forces over the area called the Prince of Persia that withstood Daniel's prayer. Well, that was in the Old Testament. It just gave us an, you know, understanding that those things are happening. Now, you know, we have power with God being seated in Christ in heavenly places. So we don't need, you know, to be fooled by any demonic powers that will try to hold back our blessings. We have power now. Jesus said, behold, I give you power over, you know, devils, scorpions, all these things, and over all the power of the enemy, and so on. But my lesson today is, yes, we've preached that kind of powerful faith that can reach out and believe God and get anything. And that's on one side. Today, I'm preaching resilience with patience. Just like when we preach faith, then we have to come back and preach wisdom. You know, we got to balance these things. You know, so I'm now preaching resilience through patience, waiting, you know, for the Lord. And no matter how long it takes, Psalm 30 and verse 5, I love this one. He says, sorrow and mourning may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. Well, we don't know how long that night is. And the night, your night, in the situation that you are in right now, may be different from somebody else's night. It may be longer, shorter, however, we don't know. But one thing we know is this. No matter how long the night lasts, it cannot last forever. There must come a break of day. The seasons that God gives us, even naturally, tell us this. During the winter seasons in the winter states of our America, you know, they have a lot of longer nights. The days are much shorter, gets darker very, very quickly. There's some places I've been to in the United States where it gets dark as early as 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's already dark. I remember one time also I was in Montreal, Canada, in one season of winter many years ago. Before 3 o'clock, it was dark in the afternoon. You know, and the night will be long. But no matter what, no matter how long that night is, at some point in time, that day must break. No night can last forever. God fixed it like that. He left the night and darkness side by side so that we'll always have hope. When you are going through the night, you have hope that some point in time, the day must break. There must be a dawning. You can't, the night cannot last forever. So hang in there while it seems like it's light. Don't run off on the Lord. Paul said to them, no life will be lost, but you must stay in the ship. If you jump ship, well, I can't guarantee your safety. Stay in the ship. Wait patiently for his salvation. Wow. You got to wait patiently for his salvation. Hallelujah. Now listen to this. Isaiah 25 and verse 9. Can you say that you have waited for the Lord? Like the psalmist said, now we waited for him and so forth. It's our God who waited for him. Can you say that? Isaiah 25, you know, hallelujah, in verse 9. And it shall be said in that day, such as today, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him. He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Will you wait for his salvation? Do you know that he will save you from whatever calamity, stress, you know, or whatever we're going through, trauma, even physical impairment, whatever it is? Will he save you? Absolutely. He will. Now, we don't know when it will be. Our prayer is that today is the day. But even if it is not, for whatever reason, will you still be at the point of faith when it is eventually that day, when the Lord finally shows up? Will he still, will he meet you at the point of faith still believing? Or would you have run off and, you know, complain and grumble and all that? You know, let us learn how to encourage ourselves while we are waiting. You know, here are some scriptures, you know, that we can use to bounce back from, you know, challenges and so forth like that. Bounce back into resilience. No matter how hard the situation is, let's be resilient. If you fall, let's get up again. That's part of resilience. And keep on waiting for his salvation. Micah chapter 7 verse 8. You've heard me quote that many times in this room. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 16. The righteous falleth 7 times, but he rises again. Hallelujah. He's resilient. You knock him down or whatever, he trips over something, he's resilient. He's going to get up again. Hallelujah. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. This man facing bankruptcy. Nothing is working. Everything cut off from the vine. You know, upside down economics, everything. But he said, look, I'm going to be resilient through it all. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. And I will joy in the God of my salvation. Glory to God. You know. Job 14, verses 7 to 9. One of my favorite scriptures. It says there is always hope of a tree when it be cut down and all of that, getting rotten in the earth, yet through the scent of water, it'll bud again. So be patiently waiting for that scent of water from the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, Isaiah 52 and verse 2. I'm just going through some encouraging scriptures quickly. Isaiah 52 and verse 2, you know, the Bible says, shake thyself from the dust. You know, don't sit down in and wallowing in self-pity and all of that. People just sit down in the dust for many days, weeks, and months, and we allow depression to set in. Shake yourself from it. I normally tell people at the church here, I say, snap out of it. the way I say it. Loose yourself from the bands around your neck. Glory to God. You know, do it. Yeah, you may seem like a captive daughter right now, but woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. And Jesus said, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, to be loosed on such a day as this? Hallelujah. Many promises such as that. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians, you know, chapter 2 and verse 14. Powerful encouragement. Thanks be unto God. Glory to God, who always causes us to triumph. Now, not sometimes, but that is always. Now, always means always. So eventually, we will triumph. Now, we don't know how long the wait must be, but we must develop resilience while we are waiting. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Here's all the things that they went through, but they developed resilience. We are troubled on every side, yet we are not distressed. We're developing resilience through it all. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but we are not forsaken. We are cast down, but we are not destroyed. And we are not going to stay down for the count. We're going to get up. Hallelujah. You know, so Romans 8, verses 31 through about 38, pretty much tells us the same thing. You know, Paul, many times he gives, you know, try to give encouragement about these things. What shall he say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And begin to tell us all these things. Who or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, verse 35, Romans 8. Shall distress, shall persecution, or farming, we don't have food to eat. Nakedness, we don't have clothes to wear. Peril, I mean, we're in danger every day. Killed all day long, Paul said. Shall the sword or, you know, persecution or war or anything that's going on. So anything, any of these things? He said, no. He said, as it's written, we are killed all the day long. Counted as sheep for the water. But I say, look, nay, in all these things, we are more. Whoo, thank you, Jesus. Than conquerors through him that loved us. But we must hang in there. You can't be a conqueror if you give up. And if you are going 15 rounds in the boxing match, you get knocked down the first round, you quit, you know, and you stay down for the count, then you don't stand a chance. You got to get up and finish the fight. And I've seen some fights where someone got knocked down earlier in the bout, but eventually came and won that match. Overall. Hallelujah. You know, I am persuaded, Paul says. Now, is this your testimony? I love to watch those litigation shows and, you know, those litigation, you know, smart lawyers will come and say, you know, is it your testimony that this and that, you know, is it your testimony like Paul, you know, that neither death nor life, this is his own persuasion. Well, let's make it our persuasion as well. I am persuaded, Paul said, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor things, you know, principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor even things to come, whether I'm up or down, height or down, or any other creature, you know, shall take away my confidence. Glory to God. You know, I'm going to stay right there. I'm building resilience, and I'm not going to give up. I'm going to stay right there. And I'm going to wait for his salvation. Glory to God. David, he went through many things. One time, the story of Ziklag in 1 Samuel chapter 30, first six verses. When he came back after pursuing the, you know, fighting with the Philistines and so on, the people that were with David, they came back into their camp and they found out that the Amalekites had come in there, smiting them, you know, burnt everything in the city, carried all their wives away. Thank God that nobody was killed, but they carried them away captive. And everybody was so distressed. And David was their captain at that time. All the disgruntled people had joined themselves to him. And then they were even more disgruntled. Now they thought of stoning him. We went to fight with you, something that was not even our battle. You dragged us into that thing. You know, because David was always running for his life. So, you know, joined this one, joined that one, you know, and so forth. You know, running for his life from Saul. But now we came back and all our families are gone and they wanted to kill the man. And so, but he encouraged, the Bible says in Psalm 30 verse 6, sorry, 1 Samuel 30 verse 6, that he encouraged himself in the Lord. How did he do it? Well, you have to read it in Psalm 42, verses 3 to 6, and also verses 8 and 11. This is how he did it. You know, he encouraged himself in the Lord. He spoke to his own soul. Said, soul, why art thou disquieted within me? You know, why are you troubled? Now, many times that our soul will be troubled. And for good reason. You say, my tears have been my meat day and night. And they continually say unto me, where is your God? The situation right now. But such a situation, we need to make it God's fight. We need to tell God, look, let not the people say, where is thy God? Stand up and fight for your name. Glory to God. When we do that, make it a God's fight. Not about your own fight, really. That's what Ezekiah said. Let them know that there is a God in heaven. Save us from his hand, that all the nations may know. Not save us from his hand that we perish not, but save us from his hand that all of them may know that there is a God that fighteth for his own name. Hallelujah. You know, why should they continue to say, where is my God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. Even though I went to the house of God, many people go to the fellowship, worship, and so forth, and they shout the victory with others. But in their heart is wounded because they have burdens and things like that. Well, I encourage you, wait patiently for the Lord. He will not forsake you. He will come for you. We shall say, this is our God. We have waited for him. Well, he will come for you as you wait for his salvation. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Hallelujah. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Glory to God. Father, I pray over this room right now. Everyone that's here, I'm praying for you now. That through the grace of God and the strength of the Holy Spirit, you will develop resilience. Hallelujah. Resilience. Thank you, Jesus. And no matter what you're going through, stay right there. I pray for everyone that we will be resilient and we will not give up. And we will not give in. For our God will come and he will save us. Glory to God. And whatever your situation has been. Now, everybody's situation is different. But whatever your situation has been, he will come through for you. Hallelujah. My prayer today is that sooner rather than later, Lord. Just like you said, Lord Jesus. You said he will come. He will avenge you speedily. Well, let us see that speedily, Lord. We don't want to wait and wait and wait and wait until our heart is weary. Make it speedy for your people, Lord. Answer us back from the secret place of thunder, even speedily. In the name of Jesus. And I pray the Holy Spirit give us the grace and strength. Hallelujah. You know, to be rugged. and to be resilient. For a good soldier of Jesus Christ must endure hardness, even as Paul told Timothy. Father, help us, Lord, to endure these things in the name of Jesus. And as we endure, you promise, you said, after that you have suffered a while, we don't know how long that while will be, that you shall inherit the promise. May the Lord come through for you sooner rather than later. But our faith, our journey of faith, must be accompanied with patience. Together with patience, faith will build a character of spiritual resilience. God bless everyone that's in this room today, and those who have listened to this, and those who may listen later on, that God will give you that spiritual resilience in the name of Jesus. Against all odds, that you keep keeping on, and God will come through for you. Our God shall come, and he will come through for you. And when he shows up, may he find you still at that point of faith. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Now let the clouds be lifted. Let the gates that have held your people back, let them be broken. Let the bars of iron be cut in pieces, and give spiritual relief to your people, Lord. An advancement even in their causes. Hear the cause of your people, Lord, that cry unto you day and night, and come through for them in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord, and good morning. Good afternoon, everyone. That's our lesson for today. Praise the Lord.